From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, April 30th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, two very different stories about rebuilding. With recovery from the May 16th tornado stalling, there's growing demand to direct the full $250 million in Rams settlement funds to the hardest-hit areas of St. Louis. But are those demands feasible? There's some disagreement there, and I'll talk to STLPR's Rachel Lemon about it. Plus, Stella Blues Bar is poised to reopen 2 years after a devastating fire, thanks to a group of staff determined to give it back to the community.
It's a St. Louis staple. It means so much to so many people.
Our Jessica Rogan takes us inside the effort to bring Stella Blues back, coming up on The Gateway. The U.S. Supreme Court dealt a blow to efforts to create majority-minority congressional districts. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, the decision won't likely have an impact on Missouri this election cycle, but it could in 2027.
The court made it much easier for states, especially in the South, to convert largely black congressional districts into whiter Republican-leaning seats. But that's not likely to happen this year in Missouri, which has had a majority black first district in the St. Louis area for decades. But Denise Lieberman of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition says there's nothing stopping future legislatures from going after the first district.
It's unlikely that those district lines can change before this year's elections, but that doesn't mean that that the rights of these voters are not impacted going forward.
Missouri Republicans do not have enough House members to make a new map go into effect before this year's August primary. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The weather had a lot of people on edge this week, as it's been a stormy spring so far. And all these recent April showers are part of a trend. St. Louis is one of many cities experiencing more heavy rainfall on average than it did in 1970. That's according to the nonprofit Climate Central, which analyzed rainfall data in more than 140 U.S. cities. It found that 90% of those cities are experiencing more heavy downpours than they did half a century ago. Their analysis says climate change is increasing the Earth's average temperature, which allows the air to hold more moisture, leading to more heavy rains. St. Louis now sees an average of 23% more rain per hour. That makes flash floods more likely, which threatens people's health and safety, as well as damages homes and businesses. Climate Central says people of color and those who live in mobile homes are particularly vulnerable because they're more likely to live in areas prone to flash flooding. Grant money aimed at reducing overcrowding at the St. Louis County Jail will soon come to an end. The jail has received about $6 million through a decade-long initiative run by the MacArthur Foundation. Among other things, it helps speed up processes to release people with low-level offenses. Acting Director Jonell Coleman says the initiative has provided greater services for residents, although the facility still struggles with capacity issues.
Because of the overcrowding, it doesn't seem as beneficial, but it's very beneficial when you consider the amount of people that aren't currently incarcerated.
More than 1,300 people have been released from jail or had their cases expedited since the initiative was established. As of April 29th, the jail was only 8 residents away from reaching capacity. Missouri's Department of Transportation plans to shut down eastbound Interstate 64 in Midtown for roughly a year, starting in fall of 2027 for repairs. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, MoDOT is hoping to share more details and get feedback at an open house this evening.
MoDOT will host the open house at the City Foundry from 4 to 7 p.m. Construction would close a roughly 1 mile portion of I-64 between Van Deventer and Compton. There won't be a formal presentation, but the state agency's engineers and planners will share plans to divert traffic and their decision-making process. Jen Wade is MoDOT's engineer for the city.
And if we can get any detailed information back from the public about things we need to make sure we're mitigating, or answer questions about what we already have in place.
The plan also includes updating the eastbound interchange for I-64 at Grand and rehabbing the westbound lanes between Compton and Boyle. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ahead of the FIFA World Cup this summer, Amtrak is adding more capacity to their trips between St. Louis and Kansas City. The Missouri River Runner train will have space for 25% more passengers during its daily round trips across the state this summer. The Missouri Department of Transportation will pay for the additional cars, which will be transferred from Illinois and Michigan. The expansion will begin by June 15th and will go until July 12th after the final World Cup match in Kansas City. Missouri still ranks 49th in the nation for how much it pays new teachers. Jody Fortino has details on the new report.
The National Education Association is the country's largest teachers union. Its latest review found Missouri's average pay for new teachers is about $41,000, up by 4.7% from the previous year. Rebecca McIntosh is president of the Missouri National Education Association. She says the state isn't investing in public education as much as other states are.
To entice good quality professionals to come into the profession, to stay in the profession, and to be in front of our students becomes more and more challenging.
Washington, D.C. has the highest pay for new teachers at about $65,000. I'm Jody Fortino.
Illinois is number 31 with a starting salary of about $47,000, but it's in the top 15 for overall teacher pay. When you consider that figure, the average teacher salary as a whole, Missouri is number 48 in the nation. In the hours and days following the May 16th tornado, it became clear that St. Louis would need a lot of financial help to recover. That made the $250 million in Rams settlement funds an attractive pool of money. As recovery stalls, there's growing demand to spend the entire amount in the areas hardest hit by the storm. I spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman to discuss how that might play out at the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Rachel, remind us where this money came from and how much we're even talking about.
This was part of a settlement from 2021 in a lawsuit that was over the way the NFL handled the Rams moving to Los Angeles. The city got about $250 million to spend how it wanted. And there was this deal back in February 2025 to allocate that money to things like water infrastructure, downtown, Northside, daycare, and that fell apart. So that meant aldermen had money available to allocate immediately for tornado relief. And they did act in June to spend about $30 million of that interest in tornado relief, but they haven't touched the principal. So there's about $250 million from the settlement from the principal that's left and $5 million in interest.
Okay, and now there are growing calls to direct those remaining funds entirely to tornado relief. Do aldermen support that idea?
For the most part, no. There is broad acceptance among members of the Board of Aldermen that some, and probably a significant portion, whether that's more than half or more than 75%, we don't know, but a significant portion will be spent on tornado relief. But only a small minority of the aldermen that we were able to reach said they wanted to see the entire pot of money go to North St. Louis. And if you're curious how your alderperson answered the question, you can read the individual responses at stlpr.org.
Okay, why do you think that is that they aren't all getting behind this idea?
So I think there's economic, logistic, and political realities at work here. The first one is that bills need 8 votes at the Board of Aldermen and the signature of Mayor Kara Spencer to become law. And the mayor has said she wants to spend money on water, North St. Louis, and downtown. And Board President Megan Green said she's generally okay with those spending buckets. It's the amounts that are still up for debate. And with the collapse of that 2025 deal, I don't think anyone wants that to happen again. It's not a good look for the board if you can't work together to negotiate what could be life-changing amounts of money. The other big thing is that the water department has some really immediate needs. Mm-hmm. We had one alderman tell us that the department's reaching a point where they might not be able to repair water main breaks. They just don't have the money available for emergency repairs. Another thing going on is that there's uncertainty over the city and how much it might have to spend on the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. There's questions about whether it is $250 million or the police department has said it may want $330 million. it's a nice pot of money to have available if courts step in and say, no, you've got to spend more than the $220 million that you're planning. Mm-hmm. And the other factor is just the sheer need in North St. Louis. This was a $2 billion storm. It caused $2 billion worth of damage. And that means if you spent all $250 million of what's left on tornado relief, that's less than 13% of that need.
Wow.
And that doesn't take into account the long history of disinvestment in North St. Louis. And the last thing that I think you've got to keep in mind is that this is one-time funding. If you start a program, depending on what its purpose is, you have to find ways to keep it funded. And once you spend this RAMS money, it's gone.
Yeah, and Rachel, frankly, it's not like the city has really proven a great track record of spending the money that it has been given for tornado relief, right?
That's correct. St. Louis Public Radio has done extensive reporting on how much the city struggled to ramp up programs using the local money available for tornado relief. It comes from a few pots of money. It's not just the RAMS interest. As of last Friday, the city had signed contracts to distribute about $40 million of the $48 million available. Only $19 million has been spent, but it does take a while for money to move through the system. The city has also tapped into $10 million of state money for building demolition, and that leaves about $90 million left.
So what are we watching for next?
This Friday will be the first day that members of the Board of Aldermen can introduce legislation. Most of the next few months are going to be taken up by the fiscal year 2027 budget. That's due by July 1st. We may see a bill get introduced for the RAMS money in very early in the session, but I don't think there's going to be any real movement on it until the budget is done. I think there's definitely going to be conversations and maneuvering behind the scenes. Like I said, they don't want another deal to fall apart. There'll be multiple chances for public input, both at hearings and through a platform that had been used to gather public input for the initial deal. We don't know exactly what that schedule is going to look like.
We know you'll be on top of it, though, Rachel. STLPR's Rachel Lippman, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks, Abby.
A fire broke out in Stella Blues Bar 2 years ago this month. Everyone was okay. The bar was not. Behind the doors of the burned-out South St. Louis dive, a group of staff has been hard at work. St. Louis Public Radio's Jessica Rogan reports.
It's loud inside Stella Blues Bar. Bargoers fill the space. Glassware clinks and the music blares. Red light illuminates the bar's walls, which are covered in posters, neon signs, and reminders that it's cash only. But this was March 2024. Now, it's so quiet inside. There's just the kitchen fan and the chatter of a few staffers. Still, this is Zoe McKelvey's favorite place.
My favorite part in general is now and always has been the dining room. I love the dining room. I love standing here, especially now, getting to see all of our tables and just knowing that this is going to be filled with people.
McKelvey is Stella Blues bar manager, though she hasn't been able to do that job for 2 years. Instead, she's been leading the effort to bring the bar back to life with a handful of staffers from before the fire. Assistant bar manager Abigail Leonard says the work is so different than actually running a bar.
And it's like, all right, what can I do today? I'm hanging pictures on walls, I'm sweeping, I'm building something.
The fire started in the kitchen and wrecked the most damage there. If staff had been able to start right away, the cleanup might not have been so bad. But for safety reasons, they had to wait. Water and fire retardant sat on the walls and floors, making things worse. It took 3 months for McKelvey and crew to get back in and 9 months to get the go-ahead. Then she suited up in a white Tyvek jumpsuit. Glass, soot, and splinters of wood crunch under her feet as she walks into the bar towards an open kitchen. Water drips, and electrical wires droop from the ceiling. The air is rank with wet earth and char. Then she got to work.
I remember opening the first cooler to clean it, and I was like, ew, who is going to clean this thing out? And I actually walked away. And then I was like, oh my God, it's me. I'm like, if I don't clean it, nobody will.
So she turned around and got it done. But that brings up a big question. Why be so devoted to reopening Stella Blues? After all, Leonard and McKelvey are staff, not owners. They've even been working other jobs, which McKelvey says they recently quit to prepare for reopening.
I've always known how important this bar was to me, and not just me, but everyone else in the community. It's a Tower Grove staple. It's a St. Louis staple.
Reopening will be a thank you to the businesses along Morgan Ford and elsewhere that supported Stella Blues and its staff with fundraising events and donations after the fire. It's also for the bar's old regulars who want to see the renovated Stella Blues, which is both new and the same. For one, it will still serve Korean-American fusion late into the night. Leonard also points to the pictures that cover nearly every inch of the walls.
But it still is a very similar vibe, still very much looks like the same Stella Blues that people knew and loved from before.
For all the love that poured in from the community, the crew heard from a surprising number of doubters questioning if they could pull this resurrection off. So, it feels great to be so close to opening, Leonard says.
Oh my God, nothing but excitement. I cannot wait.
And McKelvey agrees.
Please, please come back. Let us show you our food. Let us show you our drinks. Let us show you the space. Let us show off all of our hard work. We really can't wait.
She won't have to wait long. I'm Jessica Rogan, St. Louis Public Radio.
Stella Blues hopes to open in the next few weeks and is just waiting for one permit from St. Louis. For photos, you can go to stlpr.org. Our Brian Heffernan edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.